Saga Egmont presents If You Only Knew by Cynthia Clarke and read by Jessica Preddy. Hello, I'm Elizabeth, and I'm a killer. I've dreamed about saying those words. I've always thought that it would be a relief to finally say them out loud, to stop suppressing the one secret that haunts me every single night, every single day. Every single second of my existence. You see, secrets have a way of repressing your being, making you feel stifled, as if you're not yourself anymore. And the longer you keep a secret, the more it crushes your soul, making you want to scream, scratch at your skin, tear your hair out. It's the desperation of being alone, of knowing that nobody else can be told, that you can't share your secret with anyone. Allow them to help you carry the burden. Because, after all, who would understand? You know that instead, they would just see you as a monster. I know that's what people would think about me if I ever dared to tell them. Because it doesn't matter why I did what I did. The bottom line is that I took a life. That was someone's child, someone's neighbor, someone's friend. I've thought about being able to tell at least one person what I've done. Test the waters and hope that they would understand. I've come close on a couple of occasions. But in the end, fear has always taken over, and I've backtracked. My resolve to share my deepest, darkest confession shaken to the core. I'm too scared that the life I've built for myself will be shattered. I'm terrified of having to face the consequences of my actions, carried out in the heat of the moment. No, I cannot tell anyone. I need to remain the sole custodian of the truth. My scary reality. Nobody can know that I'm Elizabeth and I'm a killer. Chapter 1. 2014. I'm clearing the remnants of this morning's breakfast from the kitchen when my work phone rings, stopping me in my tracks. I see my assistant's name flashing on the screen. Hi, Jennifer, what's up?
There's this girl.
Her voice is coming in rapid pants.
She's going to be slaughtered by the prosecution unless you take over her case.
Cradling my phone between my ear and shoulder, I rinse Cocoa Pops from a cereal bowl. There's no time to waste. I'm already running late.
Okay, I'm listening. I got in early to file the Preston paperwork. I was waiting for the clerk to come in and heard Sarah from the public defender's office talking about this case.
Jennifer pauses for breath.
So, what is it about? I urge.
There's this girl, Chloe. She's 15 and is being charged with attempted murder.
What did she do?
Moving my phone to the other ear, I carry on clearing the kitchen, mentally urging her to give me the whole story rather than scraps of information.
She ran over this guy and fled the scene.
Her voice is tinged with excitement.
Hold on, how come she was driving? You said she's only 15.
Yes, she is. She got into his car and reversed over him.
How did she get the keys? Did she steal them?
I'm not sure.
Jennifer's voice trails off.
Okay, we can find out later. Is he injured?
Oh, yes.
She is suddenly animated.
He's still in hospital. Both of his legs are broken. He has a couple of fractured ribs, a punctured lung, and severe internal hemorrhage. Doctors aren't sure if he'll ever walk again.
Ouch. I wince, shuddering as I try to freeze out images of the unknown man's wounded body.
Sarah suggested running the case by you to see if you have time to take it on,
Jennifer continues. Taking a deep breath, I mentally run through my current workload.
I don't know. You know how busy I am right now.
Yes, but you're always looking to help young women, girls you don't have anywhere else to turn, and you haven't taken a pro bono case in a few months.
Jennifer's right. Cases where the accused has a tough story, where others would have run a mile, always get